Oops, I'm recording my share. I'm gonna suggest that I record my share to post it on the digital shares that people can listen to. So again, my name is Lupe, recovering sex and love addict. I never ever prepare what I'm gonna say. I don't think about it. It just comes off the top of my head. So first and foremost, whatever I say is personal about me. When you hear me say they, them, I'm really pointing at the. So when you hear that stuff about those people, it's behaviors that I exhibited in my lifetime. So I'll get that out the way right away. Just qualify really quickly my background, how long I've been in here. I've been sentenced for life. I went through the beverage program for drug rehabilitation back in 1988. I did a outpatient treatment journey because a lot of drugs, name it, had it, snorted it, sniffed it, swallowed it, ODs, some light drinking, passing out, but the drinking wasn't my issue. And all along, underneath the surface was this thing called sex and love addiction that I didn't know. So I started in 88 over in Silver Lake. And I was in there for about 7 years. And then this fellow member, it was majority gay meetings. That's what it was. It catered to the gay community. And we were sitting out in the stoop in the back of the building. And we were just chit-chatting. And again, I had never thought about it. Never crossed my mind. He said, I struggle with sex addiction. I go, you too? He didn't ask me about me, but I just said, you too? He goes, yeah. He said, you know there's meetings for that? I said, there is? He goes, yeah, they got meetings for that stuff. I said, oh. And he said, would you like to go? He was what we refer to in these programs, my Eskimo, who drugged me in out of the cold. So he took me to my first, it's called SCA, Sexual Compulsives Anonymous, which caters a lot to the gay community. And then there is the other one, SA, Sex Addicts. And then we have SLAA. And so I hung out in that SCA program along with going to AA for quite a while. I started in 1995 trying to understand, trying to get this under wraps and trying to figure out who I was. And I heard somewhere on a song about people, Diana Ross, talking about we're trying to unlearn. It's what we're trying to do is we're trying to unlearn what we were taught, what we took in as humans. So that's been my journey, is trying to unlearn and figure out what was true, what was not true, what my responsibility, my participation of sucking that shit in and making me think that that was my truth. That's my job in here. I was an extremely low bottom trust. I was a very, very low bottom sex and love addict and a drug addict. I got the drug addiction under control. Never really went back, except I had a moment with marijuana, but I never went back to the hard stuff. That was gone. I had a momentary situation for about 10 years. Then I had something that happened to me with marijuana use, and it ended up at the ER. As I guess I can't do this shit either. But from 95, and I bring this up, from 95 when I went, I did exactly what was going to help me not get sober. That's what I did. I did everything counteractive to what was being taught and spoke about in these rooms. Didn't get a sponsor. I didn't need anybody to tell me what to do. I've got this under control. My life is falling apart, but I got this. You don't worry about me. I don't need no father figure telling me what to do. So no sponsor. That's for losers. I didn't work the steps. I didn't have time to write and read and all that shit. I didn't read the basic text. I didn't have time for that. What I did have time is I had time to go to the meetings. I had time to go share my story, try to be cute, try to be funny, socialize, be the secretary, treasurer, literature. I had time for the light stuff, the fluffy stuff. And I was hanging out for 14 years. For 14 years from 1995 to 2009. That carried me. But the problem it was carrying me is I'd come in, I wouldn't get much sobriety. And I would get triggered. I got triggered. I was thinking about this today. I actually got triggered by a member in the program. We hear about when somebody says, oh, they triggered me. He says something about, I give myself permission to go to the bathhouse once a month. I go, huh? I was at the bathhouse that weekend. Because he can do it. I can do it, right? Everybody's different. Their programs are different. So part of my journey is that for 14 years, I struggled. In and out, in and out. Took room on the chair, would leave, come back, leave, come back, leave, come back. Till it finally in 2009, I just couldn't do it anymore. I always said, I just couldn't do it. And I realized, it dawned on me, something was wrong. I was going to die. I was very unhappy. I was very depressed, very upset, very rageful, very angry, very blaming everybody but me. Blaming everybody for the responsibility that I participated in taking care of myself. It was never my fault. If only you understood, if you only accepted what I was going through, I'm good. But it doesn't work that way. So 2009, I went to see my HIV doctor because of my behaviors, unprotected sex, gay community, AIDS. I got infected in 89. And I've had doctors for a long time. This doctor I've been with for a long time. And in 2009, I went in to see the internal medicine doctor. He is not a therapist, trust. He didn't know what the fuck to do with me. I went in, he opened his damn mouth, said, how you doing? I had a meltdown in his office. And I was just there for blood work. I was there to see how my HIV was. At Kaiser, if you know Kaiser or any of these HMOs, you want to see a therapist. Well, as soon as we can see you, it's in about 2 weeks, you won't be okay. As soon as he had that situation in his office, he says, I'll be right back. I'll be right back. I freaked him out. I'll be right back. They went and drug a therapist in. Boom. No 2 week wait. Took me to the other office. Sat in that man's office, the therapist. And this is what I talk about when we really get truthful about our situation and we face the reality of what we're dealing with. I sat in that room and he goes, what's wrong? They literally probably had to bring a fucking mop in there. They had to bring a mop to clean up the floor with all the hurt and the anger and the tears, the frustrations that I had been building up and holding back and not sharing it with anybody in those 14 years in this room. I was being stupid at the beginning of my recovery. And I just cried for the whole hour. I ran through a box of Kleenex. The snot was flying. That's how devastated and hurt I was in 2009 when I knew it was up. My time was up and that I had to do something and no one else was going to do it for me but me, my responsibility. Nobody could drag me to a meeting. Nobody could tell me go to a meeting. Nobody could tell me what to do. It all fell on my shoulders. So, I'll always remember to the day I die when the therapist looked at me and simply said, well, what makes it different this time? Because I told him my in and out, in and out, in and out. And he said, what makes it different this time? And all I could say was, I'm tired. We fucking get tired. Pardon the French. We literally get tired of this behavior if we're honest enough. And in my in and out, in and out, in and out, I thought I got tired. I had meltdowns at clubs, that I would, men's clubs. Can't even begin to tell you the three different times that I was paralyzed at the men's club. Freaking out. I would gather myself up, but I said, oh no, I paid that cover charge, so I got to go back in and have some more fun, and then I'll leave. That's how strong the addict in me was. It drove me to do things that I didn't want to do. It was like, come on, fucker. You know what you want to do. I got you. I got you. So it was really deep in me, and it was hard for me to conquer that addict. My addict is right at the surface. Trust me when I tell you, my addict is right at the surface, just waiting for me to say, okay, we can do this again. But I'm not doing that. I'm clean. I'm sober. I know where I came from, what I did, who I lied to, who I cheated on, who I stole from in my behaviors. I've also shared that, and I'll get to the recovery part. You know, I shared that I left out information with a man that I was dating. I would lie, I would finagle. And I've also shared all the men that I ever dated and became partners with. None of them had a chance. Zilch, zip. They were all going to get cheated on, and cheated they got cheated on, trust. I had one gentleman, he was Caucasian, I'm Latin. We were having words. He had the nerve to look at me and say, a generic blanket, generic, said, you Latins ain't nothing good for just sex. That's all you're good for. You're not any better than just the sex. You just use us, dump us. That's what you do to us. But still he came back, right? And the thing is with me is maybe one or two can identify with this part. When I used to get in relationships, let me figure out, give me an inkling of, are you more interested in me than I am in you? Because if you're more interested than me, game on. I'm going to treat you like a puppet. I'm going to put you on strings. I'm going to manipulate you until you got tired of my behavior. And I've had several that said, you're too toxic. My behaviors were extremely toxic towards the relationship. Now, flip it. They weren't as interested in me. And I was head over heels with them. It was just ridiculous. Oh, where's he at? Why is he calling me? Rolling on the carpet. I miss him. Is he cheating on me? I was the victim. If I didn't make you the victim, I was the victim. And it was all my doing. It was all my fault. You know, I picked some people, trust, and they probably looked at me and said, oh, shit, well, I picked one too. It's always 50-50 in these relationships. We can sit around and blame the other ones, like, well, if they only understood. It is nobody's responsibility to understand you. And most importantly, it's nobody's responsibility to understand me. The person that needs to understand me is me. That's my job. It's all my job. Has nothing to do with you. I hate that when people used to tell me, well, it has nothing to do with you. But if you... I couldn't see it. So, like I said, I'm a low down dirty dog, drug, sex addict. So what happened? I got tired of the lifestyle. So when I first got in here, God was for other people. I used to say, I'd look up and I'd say, you're for weak people that don't have control over their life. I don't need you. How do I go from there to, as I shared here a couple of weeks ago, I pray every night. I give thanks to God. It was turning my life over to the care of God as I understand God. Not you, but how I understand. And how I understand it is, he wants nothing but the best for me. And I always say, when people say, oh, you're too generous, I go, no, I'm not that generous. I said it today. Oh, you shouldn't give me that. No, I need to give that to you. Why? Because God's looking down on me. And God's looking to see what I'm up to. Am I being generous with his children? I have more than enough. And I want you to have this. And I give of myself. There's some people, I have two sponsees in here sitting around the room. And I have numerous personal relationship friends outside these rooms that we get together and break bread and we do things. So they know who I am. They know I'm speaking the truth. Because who I am right now speaking, I'm the exact same thing out there. A customer of mine the other day, she blurted out this. This is real important. She says, I don't like people who lie. You too? Because the minute that I suspect that you're being shady, and my eyebrow, which I can't lift singly, my eyebrow goes up, and I'm smelling, this shit don't feel right. Based on what you're doing and based on what you're saying, possibly time to cut you out. Because I don't like shady people. I don't like people who lie. I can rather handle your truth than you trying to finagle and lie. I recognize lying. I recognize shady behavior. What this program did was it turned my life completely around. It gave me a new vision. Got a sponsor. Got that sponsor. Beautiful sponsor. What was needed to be done. To guide me, to tell me what to do. Encourage me, love me, invite me, hold me. As I cried and I delivered my fourth step and I was crying, and he just said, let it out. Because that's what we have inside of our hearts, inside of our souls, all this damage that we took on, either thrown on us, and we said, yeah, bring it, come on. I'm a nobody. I'm not worth nothing. I'm a negative person, yeah. I don't belong here. And I took that shit on. And I took the self-imposed loneliness. I would be very lonely. And I compared myself. So if you're comparing yourself to someone else, I know you've heard this in this room. If your ass is comparing yourself to someone else, stop it. Because in my experience, when I compared myself, I always came out at the bottom. I never came up on top. Because I always looked for somebody that seemed to have a nicer car, bigger house, had a family, well-dressed. I would not compare myself to a homeless person, which I love. I hand out money to homeless people. When I see them collecting bottles, I go, hey, you collecting bottles? He goes, yeah. I said, yeah, well, here, let me help you. I'll throw money in them. You get more for this than you do those bottles. But I would compare myself to those that I assume that were doing better than me, and I always came out on the short end. This program has shown me don't compare myself to others. It has given me the grace, the enlightenment to speak my mind, speak up, speak my truth, be of support. But it all has to do with coming in here. Now, let me do a further qualification. Next year, I have a trilogy. Next year will be a trilogy for me. I'll be 75. That's one. Next year will be 50 years that I moved to Los Angeles. And next year will be, 40 years that I've been in recovery. So it's 30 years in SLA next year. So it's like a triple hitter next year, a celebration of me doing what I got to do. And the reason I come back is because it just keeps reminding me with your stories. Sometimes when I hear newcomers, are the most beautiful stories I hear, because I see them well up and I see the pain and I see the hurt and I recognize that was me. And you're reminding me of where I've come from. Now, because I only got a couple minutes left, what it is like today, trust, it is none of that anymore, because I've done the work. I've sponsored people. I did my steps. I take commitments. I be a service. I go to meetings. I kept myself in touch. My life is full of love. In these rooms, full of love from members, my sponsees and my friends that are in this room and other rooms. I felt extremely loved. I feel extremely loved by my neighbors. The street that I live on is a one-way street. You ain't turning off. It's about a mile and a half up in the Santa Monica Mountains, Sherman Oaks. I've been anointed the mayor of Scadlock because I know a lot of people on my street. I take my time out to say, hi, how are you? If there's ever anything you need, let me know. You have my number. I have keys up and down the hill, people's keys. They trust me. They see integrity. They see trust. And sincere. And but it's because of all this program. Before I changed, and you can change, you will find that people will be gravitated towards you if you a source of light, and if you're a source of love to humanity, they'll come to you. And I was going to say, I always looked. And it's part of the problem with this is we're always constantly looking outside ourselves to get that fulfillment, to feel whole, to feel complete. I did that for decades. I did it for fucking ever. I needed to be in love. That way I felt full. Well, guess what? I don't need that. I don't seek love. I don't want a relationship. I'm enough. Myself is enough for me. And I'm going to wrap up here in just a couple seconds. But I keep saying, I don't look for a relationship. And I'm really good with that. I will be single for the rest of my life. And I'm good with that. But if something or someone happens to approach me, my door is open. I will look it over. I will converse with it. And I will make a decision. Is that person worth me? That's where you have to get to. Are they worth your time? So with that, I want to say welcome to the newcomers. Welcome to those that are struggling. We are in the right place. And I thank you.